for today. And Lord, I just pray that my mind is completely clear now, that I'm able to discern, Lord, exactly what you would have me to do and not to do. Lord, bless those who are continuing to give there for the orphanage, Lord, and just thank you for their heart, so willing to love these little children there in Mexico, Lord. We're so thankful that we can help them and love them and support them in their lives. Lord, somehow, some way, as you always do, we look to our Savior. We look to his fruitfulness and all that he is to be ours. Some way, Lord, invade our hearts today. We know the nation that we live in, that the foundations have begun to be destroyed and that are slipping away. We lift up our nation to you, Father. We pray that, Lord, as your word says, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Lord, help our country. Bring a revival in the church again. Bring a revival through our nation and clean up our country, Lord. And Father, this year, this 2014, as I continue the New Year's message today, help me. And may our hearts be open to receive it and understand it clearly and apply it to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for those that we continue to pray for in the body, Lord, for Roy and Steve and Sherwin and Donnie Lowell, all of them, Lord, Mary Bentley, all the people that we're lifting up in prayer for touching and healing. Now, Lord, strengthen each and every heart. And may the word, Lord, that you have given us, may it just come alive in our hearts today. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn. This is part two of our New Year's message from last Sunday. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you will. We're going to be in three places, but the first two that we're going to be in is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, just for a minute, and then we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, and then we'll go to our main text, which I'll tell you in just a moment. I want to talk to you about a careful walk in 2014, or what is a careful walk, and how in the world can we have a careful walk? We live in times that are so strained and so different. Like I said last Sunday, you know, we're living in a time, you know, where our entire country that we live in, the morals, the values, and divine truths that we uphold are being reshaped before our very eyes. And we're living in what is called now, they're calling it a new normal. But the new normal that we're living in is actually an evil day. Amen? When we start seeing the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do, the Bible says? Well, the Bible tells us a lot that we can do whenever we see things like this happening in a nation. So we launched out last Sunday into the deep, remember. And we're being obedient to the Lord. We're letting our net down for a harvest, if you will. We're going to catch fish. We're going to be soul winners in 2014. But more than anything, we're going to find and walk in our areas of divine fruitfulness that belong to every true believer in Christ Jesus. So with all that being said, what do we do when we see the evil that is surrounding us, especially in our nation today? I mean, do we run away? Do we put our head in the sand? Do we walk in denial? What are we to do? Well, the Bible is very clear. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, I hope you're there with me, Ephesians chapter 5, look down at let's just begin at verse 14. Paul is, of course, he's been telling us to walk in love and to stay away from things that are sinful and so forth, and that we're no longer children of darkness. And then he does something in verse 14. He says, "Awake, you who sleep." Now, he's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. He says, "Wake up, you sleepy Christian. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." He's not talking about the resurrection there. He's talking about a state of slumber that so many Christians are in today. And then he tells us what to do in times just like today, that the times that we're living in this very moment. He look at verse 15. He says, "Now see then that you," that's us, "that you walk circumspectly." That word simply means that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming, or literally buying up the time. And he tells us why. Because the month is evil. The year is evil? No, the days, plural, every day. Would you say that as you hear the news and the newspapers, all the things that are going on in our life, that our nation literally is overflowing with evil? No doubt about it. And we're the church. We're the salt. We're the light. We're the only hope that this nation and this world has, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. So we look at this, and he just told us what to do in the evil day that we're experiencing. He said, Paul told us that the evil day, number one, is going to require that we walk very carefully, that we walk with exactness, that we know where we're going. We don't want to be foolish. And we're also, it says, to buy up. That means to redeem, buy up the time, meaning that there are opportunities in the days of evil for us. You know, winning the lost and so forth. But God tells us this. He's telling us there, I want you to look at the evil day the same way that I look at the evil day. And he wants us to look at it as a time of opportunity. In other words, we're not to fall apart. We're not to be dismayed and so forth. So 2014 is literally full of the unknown opportunities that God has for us. We can only live one day at a time. And so, you know, we don't know all this going on. I looked up that word opportunity because the word buy up or redeem there means to seize the opportunity that the evil day has. And the word opportunity, I looked it up in our English word, it says opportunity comes from the Latin and means toward the port. It says it suggests a ship taking advantage of the wind and tide to arrive safely in the harbor. That's what I want to do. Amen. I want to take advantage of the wind that is blowing in 2014 to arrive at a safe port. And I'll tell you something. There is nothing better than being or arriving at the area of our fruitfulness. Amen. You see, remember last week when we let down the net, we found the miraculous, we found fruitfulness, and we found miracles. Why? They were in the perfect will of God right then. They obeyed the word. Peter said, okay, Lord, you're not a fisherman, you're a carpenter, but here's the deal. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And then when he did that, he walked into the miraculous, didn't he? Unbelievable, the things that are happening. And that's when we get to the area of our fruitfulness. All of a sudden, things start happening in our lives. And the only way to get there is to have a careful walk in 2014. Look at the next verse now. It says, therefore, based on what I just told you, what the Word of God just told you, therefore, do not be unwise, but firmly grasp or understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, listen carefully. In context, he's talking about understanding the will of the Lord, meaning the opportunities that we have in front of us in the evil times that we're living in. We're not to look at these as, oh, they're horrible obstacles and we can't overcome them. Oh, no. We're the church, amen? The gates of hell will not prevail, okay? So we're gonna do what God says here, and we're gonna do something. So the fourth thing that we need to understand is that evil days require us to understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, we know that God's word is the will of God. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God, okay? So we know that the Word of God is the will of God. But you know what? We can have a lot of knowledge, can't we? And never understand the knowledge that we possess. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. You say, well, I've memorized all these scriptures. And that's wonderful that you've done that. I applaud that. But do you understand what you've memorized? God says, I want you to understand my will, my word, my will, and understand it in 2014. Now, with all that being said, turn in your Bible with me over past Philippians, a couple of pages, and then go to Colossians chapter 1. Paul there writing this great church, and they're if you read through the first verses through the 6, 7, and 8, they're very fruitful. They're a fruitful church. And so Paul, he goes into verse 9, and he says this to them. He says, for this reason, meaning you're so fruitful, that you're loving everyone, things that are happening in your life. He says, since also the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled, here it is, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that's what we're doing this morning. And something else, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord. How do we walk worthy of the Lord? Well, the word worthy is a beautiful, in the Greek, it's a beautiful picture, if you will, of a set of scales. And the scales are equal. In other words, equal in doctrine, equal in application. You hear the word of God, and then you do the word of God. And God says, you will, if you do that, you will what? Be fully pleasing him, or literally bringing joy to his heart. And here it is. Being fruitful, or continuing to bear fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now that's the introduction, okay? Now, being fruitful in 2014 requires us to have a walk that's careful, a walk that is filled with wisdom and understanding. So how do we do that? I want you to turn in your Bibles into the Old Testament. We're going to look at six verses in Psalm 1. Psalm 1, right after the book of Job. Please turn there with me. You know, when I looked at this, I'm not going to read these six verses. I'm just going to read the first verse right now. But let me show you something here. It says in Psalm 1, blessed, that's oh how happy, how fortunate, or to be envied, the word, that's what it means. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I want to stop right there. And I said to myself, the same thing I said to the early service. I said, do I really have to teach that? Do I really have to sit here and this morning and or even remind us that we're never, ever, ever to receive counsel or advice from the ungodly? Amen? Is that, that's just the wisdom of God. That should be so engraved in our heart that it doesn't, that's just second nature. I mean, no, there's no way. But the sad truth is that so many in the church, so many of our young people, so many of all of the church, do they operate in the wisdom of the world instead of the wisdom of God? Yes, you know it and I know it. It hurts us. It's the sad truth. We don't want to do that. Listen, if we're going to have a careful walk, we have to do something. He says, blessed, and that's what we want to be. We want to be, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman, blessed is the teenager, if you will, who walks, and that word means who makes their daily decisions, not in the counsel or the advice or the wisdom of the ungodly. So the first point that we need to be have a fruitful 2014 is that a careful walk requires the right counsel. Now listen, we say, well, I don't receive ungodly people. I don't go up to ungodly people and get advice. Well, there's only two kinds of people in the world, godly and ungodly. Amen? You know, you say, well, they're ungodly. They're not talking about people that shoot people and murder people and steal cars. I mean, you're not going to go up to down to the jail and ask somebody for wisdom, are you? No, you're not going to do that. This is just your regular, ordinary people and so forth. In other words, these people, they're hardworking people. They're good people. But they don't know the Lord. They don't have a desire to know the Lord. They're thinking, when they wake up in the morning, they don't read their Bible because they don't have a Bible. And if they do, they don't know where it's at. They go to the sports page or the Wall Street Journal or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm not condemning that at all. You know, they're of the world. They can't help it. They're not born again. But why would you go? Why would I go? Why would any of us ever go to an unbeliever or someone who's not walking with God and ask them advice? Are you here? I heard people that are listening live, they were applauding. I didn't hear anything from you. Amen. Thank the Lord that, you know, that there's people out there that are, I could hear them. I have that little thing in my ear. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, listen. No. God's not involved in their decision making. And here's the problem. All of us, we are surrounded with all these voices, newspapers, news, talk shows, books, self-help books, all these things. We are surrounded with people that don't know the Lord. And they are always offering their wisdom, the world's wisdom that is, their advice. And here's what's sad. Our children, our preteens and our teens are surrounded by the same kind of people. People that they mean well. They believe what they're saying. They're in their hearts. They're sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong. Amen. So see, if we're going to stay on the careful walk, it requires the right counsel. You know, we're sitting, I look today in my heart as I've been studying about teens and preteens for the last couple of months. You know, my heart literally is breaking for our children and our teens today. And just think what they're facing. Think, I mean, the things that they just find on the internet or whatever. You know, they're bombarded today with alternate lifestyles. You know, and they're not only are they accepted as the new normal, they're accepted on TV, on talk shows, on radio talk shows. They're, and even in some churches and so forth. And they're, well, they're affirmed by the Supreme Court. They're affirmed by the White House. So what are you going to do? My question is this. We're living in the days of evil. Okay, that's just the way it is, all right? I'm not going to let it destroy me and make me stick my head in the sand. I'm going to do something about it. And so I look at this and I say to you, parents, are you protecting your children? I you say, well, Bill, of course I know you are. I know you love your children. But let me ask you a question. You know, don't let your children learn. Don't let their questions that they have that you should be answering for them, don't let them go to the internet and find them. You know what I'm saying? You want to teach your children about intimacy, sexuality, or whatever? Don't let them, you know, they will go there. Do you understand me? You want to tell them what God says about it. Listen, you know, the thing about it is our children and all of us, you know, have you ever noticed how we're being trained? In other words, if I have a question, and I know you don't do this, but I just go to Google. I know you would never do that. You know, or now, you know, I go to Siri, you know, she's an unbeliever. No, she is. I ask her, I said, I told her, you know, sometimes I just torment her. And you know, I said, you a Baptist? She didn't say anything. I said, okay, Siri, here's the deal. This is my exact question. Here it is. Ready? Okay. Do you have any religious, beliefs? Here's what she said. I eschew theological disquisitions. I had to look up both those words. She means I don't talk about religion. You understand? So now I'm going, I'm asking you when the Patriot game is today, and you're an unbeliever, I'm seeking advice from you. Are the Broncos going to win? I look at this and listen. Ungodly counsel, okay, is anything that contradicts God's word and here's what happens now. It will remove us from the realm of fruitfulness in our lives. Our decision making, our family decision making, our decisions for our children, whatever we do in our life should be based on the sure, truthful word of God that never changes. Amen? You know, the Bible tells us, it says in Proverbs 8:11, it says, for God's wisdom is better than rubies, and all things, talking about God, the wisdom of the word of God, and all things that one may desire, all things that you may desire in your life, it says, cannot be compared to her, meaning God's wisdom. So, if we're going to stay on the careful walk, if we're going to have a careful walk, then we don't need to be receiving counsel from the ungodly. Amen? They don't need to tell us how to run our marriage. They don't need to tell us how to raise our children. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, look at the next one. Nor stands in the path of sinners. You could actually read that in the Hebrew. Nor stand in the well-worn path of sinners. So number two, a careful walk requires us to stay on the correct path. Did you know that sinners have a path all of their own? Amen? And the reason that they do is because they're not born again. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're walking according to the course of this world. They don't have the Holy Spirit is not leading them because they can't welcome the things of the Holy Spirit into their heart. They can only welcome the things of the world into their heart. They're fleshly. They're carnal. They can't help it. They're not born again. And I look and I say, oh Lord, I don't want to get on the wrong road. Did you know that what's so wonderful about the Bible is that it always tells us the truth. And the truth of the matter is this, loved one, is that there are only two roads in life that a person can be on. That's it. There are not many ways to God. There are not many roads to be on. There can be many religions, but there's only one. that works, one that is true. Jesus told us that man is either on one of two roads. He said in Matthew 7:13, he says, Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. That's a huge word, isn't it? Destruction. Eternal separation from God. He says, and there are many, so many people that go in there by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And few, and there are few who find it. You know, why is the broad way so easy? Why is it so easy to go down the broad way that leads to destruction? We've all been on that road in our life before. You know, I look at that and I say, I don't want to get off on that road. I don't even want to be going down that road. You know, the thing is that the narrow road is, like Jesus said, it's just narrow, but it leads someplace. It leads to life. And when you start following Jesus, did you notice that how the Holy Spirit started working in your life and started stripping things out of your life that were ungodly, that were not good for you, that were not good for your family, stripping away things that you should see? I said, I can't put my eyes there. Stripping away thoughts that you should never think. I cannot go there. Touch this. No, I will not. You understand? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit working in the life of the believer, and it gets narrow, it gets restricted, and all of a sudden, you know what you start experiencing? You start experiencing life. True life, true living. In other words, you start going, oh, honey, you take her and you go, look what the Bible, I've only been a Christian 2 months now, but look what it said. It says, I'm to love you. It's telling me how I need to love you. I'm to love you as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, what does that mean? One of the greatest, that's not an option, by the way, men. That is a command. Husbands love, Ephesians 5:25, husbands love your wife. Oh, listen, amazing. I didn't know how to love my wife until I knew the Word of God and believed the Word of God and put the Word of God into practice. And I started thinking, oh God, it's narrow, and that's what's wrong. People don't like it. They say it's too narrow, it's too restricted. No, it's leading to life, and you get all of a sudden you get down on the popular way. Any belief system will work. Any ideology, any religion, it'll all work. Just come on in. There's no lifestyle that we won't accept. It's the broad way. And there are so many going down that road right now. And God says, oh, you need to have a careful walk in this life. In 2014, if you really want to find the area of your fruitfulness, you got to be careful. Because you know what? It's only the narrow way is where you find your destiny, you find your purpose, you find your calling, you find the voice of God. Only there do you find your divine area of fruitfulness in your life. It's when you're on the right road. It says in Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not even travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. That's good advice from the Word of God. Amen. Now look at the third thing here. It says, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or a mocker, okay? Someone who mocks God. Now, a careful walk, number three, a careful walk requires us to never, never, ever sit or rest or relax in the wrong chair. Or I should say, the chair of the scornful. You see what it says? Nor sits in the seat, meaning the chair of the scornful. Now listen, to sit, for a believer to sit there in that chair, it means number one, that you are abiding with those people. And number two, it means that you're enjoying their company. Amazing. Now, there are believers that hang out with the wrong people. You know that, and I know that. Our kids, you know, sometimes they hang out with the wrong people, and you have to say, hey man, you know, we need to be praying for her, praying for him. But the truth is that they're going to get you in trouble. You see, if we start taking advice from the ungodly, we find ourselves on the wrong road, away from the area of our fruitfulness. And not only that, we're going to find ourselves around people who mock God. You know, unbelievers mock God, whether they like it or not. They're going to do that because they don't believe in God. Amen? And you know how it is. You know, you're around them, and all of a sudden, especially if you're in a backslidden condition. You're hanging out with a mocker, a scornful person, which is horrible. But I'm going to tell you what, you'll never be blessed by hanging out with those people. Never. You'll never be blessed by hanging out with anyone who makes fun or sport of Jesus Christ. Amen? No. That's a sad thing. That's a sad thing. That breaks my heart when people do that. So, you know, parents, listen about kids. And here I'm thinking, my heart's been full of children the last couple of months, and young people, teens. You know, I pray that your child knows this scripture by heart. 1 Corinthians 15:33, where it says this, God's word says, do not be deceived. How many people in here want to be deceived today? No. You see, when a person is deceived, that means they don't know they're deceived. Isn't that right? And then when you find out you've been deceived by someone else, does it bother you? Yes, it bothers you. So God gives us a warning. He says, do not be deceived. Teens, or if you're any young people in here right now, you know, I'm old, I can't see past the third row. So if you're here, listen very carefully. All of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals. Amen? And you say, no, I'm going to change them. No, they're going to change you. I've heard it all. Well, I'm going to go hang with them because I'm going to lead them all to the Lord. No, they're going to take you away from the Lord. You need to do what the Bible says. Amen? You don't need to be hanging with them. And they're just scoffers. Remember what Peter said? He says, and knowing first that scoffers will come in the last days, we're living in the last days, and they will say, oh, hey, where is the promise of his coming? When is Jesus really coming back? Jesus is coming back. Oh, yeah, I've heard all about it. Oh, the rapture. Yeah, the church is going to be caught up in the air and all this nonsense. You know, Bill, this is the 21st century. I mean, you know, you're just a little bit, the cheese is slipping off the cracker, isn't it, Bill? You know, you're just kind of going downhill. I'm telling you that man doesn't know the day or hour. And Jesus is going to come in an hour we do not expect. It may be today, and it may be tomorrow, it may be 10 years, I don't know. It just says be ready. Be watchful. And that's what we're to be. That is certainly a careful walk, loved one, to do that. But they make fun. Oh, yeah, he's gone to prepare a place for you. Ha, ha, ha. Listen, I don't know about you, but that hurts me when I hear that. You don't want to hang with that kind of attitude. Amen? You know what it says about people like that? It says in Proverbs 21:24, it says, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. You know, the fool has said in his heart, Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's severe, isn't it? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's one thing to say in your mind, well, I just don't believe in God. But when a person says in their heart, boy, the area, the seat of their emotions, the realm of the soul, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know who a person really is, listen to what comes out of their mouth, because whatever's in their heart comes out. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For a person to say there is no God in their heart is a dangerous place to be, isn't it? No, we want to pray for people like that. Now watch this. Look at verse 2. Talking about a careful walk now. But his delight, meaning blessed is the man, the woman, whoever, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now that's, yes, here in the Old Testament, we're speaking of the law of Moses and so forth, but we have the new covenant and the old covenant. We're speaking of all the word of God, aren't we? The whole word of God. Oh, we delight in God's word. Amen. Oh, you better believe it. And in this law, or in God's word, what does he do? He meditates once a month. Oh, no, that's in that sissy version, you know? No, he meditates how long? When? Day and night. What does that mean? For a person who wakes up with the Bible, goes to sleep with the Bible, you're probably just like me. You keep the Bible at your nightstand. You pick it up. I pick it up when I go to my office, my quiet time in the morning. And then whenever I go to bed at night, my Bible's right there on my nightstand too. I want to read at least a word of something from God's word and then go to sleep, okay? Now, day and night. It means when we say we meditate it, we delight in it, it means that God's word is then the greatest influence in that person's life, in our lives. Now here's what Warren Wiersbe said about this passage. He says, whatever a person delights in is what's going to direct their life, direct their walk. And if we delight ourselves, take pleasure in, if we love the Word of God, if we hide the Word of God in our heart, if we cherish the Word of God, if we study and meditate on the Word of God, does it change us? Absolutely. What did they say? Paul tells us again, I'll quote it again from Romans 12, 2. It says, be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape your thinking. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. To what? The Word of God. Getting it into our hearts and meditating on it. So number four, a careful walk begins when we make the right choice. We avoid ungodly counsel and we seek and meditate upon God's counsel. The Word of God says in Psalm 119, 105, it says that your lamp or your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's amazing. I love that scripture. In other words, it is the Word. Here's the Word. God says, here's how important the Word God is in your life. There's the path, and if you don't have the Word of God, you're not going to have any light on where you're going. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. So here we open up our lamp. Where are we going, Lord? We're going into the area of fruitfulness in 2014. He says, good, Bill. Here's the deal. Let the Word of God be a lamp unto my feet. There's my feet. There's my lamp. And a light unto my path. You and I, we will not know where we're going, see where we're going, unless we let the Word of God be our absolute counsel. Amen? Oh, how we need that more than anything today. You know, a careful walk requires that. You remember when God commanded Joshua. You know, Moses, the servant of the Lord, it says, died in Joshua chapter 1. And God told Joshua, you're now in charge. He says, be strong, be courageous. He says, wherever the sole of your foot touches in this land, this beautiful land of Canaan, he says, shall be yours. And no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life, for I am with you, and nor will I ever forsake you. And so God says, I want you to go in. I want you to possess the promised land. Yes, you're going to have to fight. I want you to go in and take it. How did Joshua accomplish this? Remember what God told him, how it would be accomplished? Let me read it to you. He says in Joshua 1:8, God says, the book of the law, meaning the Word of God, okay? The Word of God shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to according to do all that is written in it. Now listen to what happens when this occurs. Joshua, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Isn't that amazing? God says, you need to take the land. We're living in the days of evil. You know, we need to see people come to Christ. We need to have a revival in the church in America. We need to get our nation back on its feet again. What are you going to do? I'm going to mutter. Mutter? Yes, that's what meditate means, mutter. You know what I'm saying? How many people mutter? Huh? You know, it means you talk to yourself. You know what? My grandmother, you know, when she would read, she read out loud. Do y'all remember that? How your grandparents did that? She would read out loud. Everything she did, she would always read out loud. There's something when we mutter, when we ponder, when we digest it. It's kind of like a cow. You've seen a cow, they go out there and they eat that grass. You know what I mean? They swallow it. I don't know how many stomachs they have, but regurgitate. I don't know what they do. It's called chewing the cud, though. I know what that means. And they re-chew what they've already chewed. Well, that's what meditate means. Chew it over and over and over and over. Get it into your heart and then apply it to your life. God says you'll be prosperous, then you'll have good success. Now here, listen very carefully. I'm talking about fruitfulness. I'm talking about 2014, a careful walk and where it's going to lead us. If we will do verse 1 and verse 2, if we will obey that, 2014 will be a very prosperous or fruitful year, okay? I'm not going to define the word prosperous. What is prosperous to one family is not prosperous to the next family. Does that make sense? Yeah, let's don't make that into just money or something like that. I'm talking about to be a prosperous may not have anything to do with having finances, okay? It may be getting rid of some things that you need to get rid of. And God says, now you're really prospering. Now you're really bearing fruit. But if we will do that, if we will do verses 1 and 2, listen very carefully now. Verses 3 belong to us, belong to Calvary Chapel, belong to each person that's listening right now, even you that's listening live. Listen to what it says in verse 3. And he shall be like, that means he's not going to be a tree, he's going to be like a tree planted where? By the rivers, that's that word really is channels, by channels, meaning a never-ending supply of water, of resource, planted by rivers of water, and look what happens, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall never or not wither, and watch this, and whatever he does shall what? I don't know about you. I'm going to ask you a question. I just heard my editor again. I said the same thing in the first service. My radio editor says, would you stop asking, saying I'm going to ask you a question? Because you're going to ask a question. So let me stop. Do you believe verse 3? I believe it with all of my heart. You know, here's the deal. Last Sunday, when I brought forth our New Year's sermon, as I have done the last 21 years, okay, I believe with all of my heart, that 2014 is the year of fruitfulness for us here at Calvary Chapel. I won't define what your fruitfulness will be, but I know how we can get there, okay? Now, here's the thing. The moment that I said that, warfare. I mean, the moment you, as many of you know, I've been sick all week long. I didn't preach Wednesday night. I was sick last Sunday when I brought the New Year's message. I'm still sick today. And it has been a week that I cannot even tell you about. It has been unbelievable. The warfare. I mean, just attacks on my family. I've been sick all week. And then, you know, in the midst of this, I mean, you know, when you can't breathe, you know what I'm talking about. You've got this horrible coughing over and over. You can't control your cough and you're popping every kind of pill known to man and praying. And, you know, you're going to every healer in the world trying to get healed. And you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you can't blow your nose. You can't, you know, your eyes are watering. Your nose will not stop running. You know how it is. You just got to have a handkerchief everywhere. You ever been like that? Oh, hallelujah. Well, do you remember what I said? I said, the year of fruitfulness does not mean the absence of warfare or the absence of circumstances. Amen? You know, we got to take the land. We've got to do what God says. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect in our life. But I agree with verse 3 no matter what. You know, listen, it says we're going to be planted beside rivers of living water. You know, this week on Wednesday, I woke up and I told my wife, honey, of course, I was just coughing and all that. You know what I mean. And I had to walk to school in the snow, too. And, you know. But all of that stuff. And so all of a sudden I said, there's a pain in my mouth, you know, right under my nose, all the way across my lip. And I said, I don't know what it is. And I said, it's got to be my sinuses because I could not breathe and my sinuses were all stopped up. My ears were stopped up. And all of a sudden it just swelled or whatever you call that word, just boom. I went, that's not good. So my wife says, called our dentist. So I called our dentist, you know, and he says, yeah, you need to come down here right now. And I said, okay. So I didn't think a thing about it. I thought it's just going to, you know, give me some antibiotics or maybe it's nothing. Bill, it's your sinuses, you understand, because you're so sick. And he goes, he said, Bill, you got to go to emergency surgery right now. I said, what? I'm thinking, yeah, fruitfulness, Lord. Year of fruitfulness. Yes, year of fruitfulness. So I'm rushed over here to this emergency surgery. You know, I have to have oral surgery, okay? They put me in a chair. Okay, you can't breathe. Okay, and this chair goes like this, and here's my head down here. The sinus pressure, right? I have one little nostril that's working right here. No, wait a minute. And when I say nostril, I mean not even the size of a toothpick. I mean, if, like I told the first sir, if a gnat had come by and it went in my nose, I'd have died, okay? I mean, that was it. I could no breathe. And so here I am. All the sinus pressure in the world is on my head, right? And he's got to lance my top gun with that knife and he's going to do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and I'm going, oh God. And you know what? They put that plastic thing across me. You know what I'm talking about. And here's what they did. So here I am. There's my head way down here. You know, they're doing all this and they forgot to put the suction thing on. Oh yeah. Water is rivers of living water. Is pouring out of, and here I am, my head is, I'm back, and my whole, I was from the back of my neck to the bottom of my feet. I was soaking wet. They let it run for about 3 minutes. I was afraid to say a word because they had the scaffold. And the whole time I was just praying, please don't let a gnat go into that nose. And the whole time he was doing that, here's what I was saying to myself. I said, oh Lord, you said you were, I am a tree and I am planted by rivers of water. Hallelujah. And I said, I can prove it. It's all coming out. You know what I mean? But you know what? Now listen to me. This really is the truth. You see, when we do verses 1 and 2, we obey the Lord. We love the word of God. We're doing what he says to do. Then verse 3 belongs to us. You're going to be just like a tree. Matter of fact, a tree that is stable, a tree that is strong, a tree that is continuing to grow. Why? Because you're planted in the right area. And this is what is so wonderful about this, is that God knows exactly the area to plant you in. See, we know that, of course, water, rivers of water speaks of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? But it also speaks of the Word of God. Listen, your area, the area of your fruitfulness, the area of your divine fruitfulness, the area of your resources, your stability, your strength, your nourishment, all that you need is a unique area to you alone. And only God knows where the area of your fruitfulness really is going to be. Does that make sense? In other words, your area of living water may be over here, but mine may be way over here, because we all have different needs at different times in our life and different ages in our life and so forth. And I say, Lord, you mean if we just love you and we just, since you love us and by grace and through your power and by just agreeing with your word, if we do 1 and 2, you mean number 3 can really be ours? Verse 3 can be ours in 2014? Yes, it can. And I say, oh Lord, I'm going to delight in the Bible. I'm going to meditate upon your word. And I'm going to have a strong root system just like a tree. Amen? And whatever winds come, whatever's going to try to blow me to the right or the left, I'm not going to be uprooted, because I have been planted. Now listen, I have been planted by God. See, planted tree. You will be like a planted tree. That means that God planted you, and that means that he owns you. Amen? See, planted speaks of ownership. You don't plant yourself. He has planted you. And so God says, okay, Joe, you need to be here. Boom. Johnny, you need to be over here. Boom. But he plants you at the area of your fruitfulness because you're obeying verse 1 and verse 2. And you say, well, Bill, I've kind of had a week like yours. And I feel like I've been chopped down to size. I'm kind of like, I'm just good for firewood. You know what the Bible says about that? You know, you feel like you're just dying there. You're drying up. Remember what Job said in Job 14:7. He says, is there hope for a tree if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease? Though its root may grow old in the earth and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent, the smell of water, it shall bud and bring forth branches like a plant. Now listen, there are going to be seasons in 2014 that you feel like your tree has just been chopped down, or you're dying right there, your roots are drying up, and your leaf is withering and so forth. Nothing you touch is prospering. And God says, now you hold on. All you need is to remember, you just need a scent of water. What did I tell you that water is a representative type of in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. Jesus, what did he say? He shouted on that day in John 7, says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come and what? Drink. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. See, you can be drinking and be filled with the Holy Spirit every day of your life. Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled. That's a command, not an option. In other words, if God commands us, then we're able to do it. You bet, Lord, fill me to overflowing. Give me the strength that I need for the day at hand, whatever I'm facing, and when the winds of adversity are blowing. God says, if you'll do that, you'll stay right there in the area of your fruitfulness in 2014. And that's where we want to go, and that is where we want to stay. So we're God's planted people. All we have to do is abide in the vine. Who's the vine? You know what I mean? Abide in the vine. We are the branches, you know, and it says, you cannot bear fruit without me, Jesus said. Fruit, this fruitfulness comes from a Christ-likeness, that type of fruit and so forth. Love, joy, peace, goodness, being kind, forgiving one another, the fruit of the Spirit and so forth. It comes, that's Christ-likeness in our life. That's the Holy Spirit producing that kind of fruit in us. But we're in the Lord, man. And God says, I want you to be in the area of your fruitfulness, the divine area. There are things that are waiting for us in 2014. And if we are not going to be obedient, doing verses 1 and 2, just the Bible in general, come on, then we're going to be in trouble. I want everything that God has for me. I don't want to miss one opportunity. Remember what it says in Ephesians 5, 16 and 17 that I just read earlier. Buying up or redeeming the time. Buying up every opportunity. Why? For the days are evil. Okay, Lord, I'm going to look at it as an opportunity, and you're going to plant me right there in the area of my resource, in the area of my need, in the area of my fruitfulness, not only for me, but for my family and everything I'm doing. Amen? Now, but look at the ungodly in verse 4. The ungodly are not so. Whew. Isn't that amazing? God just uses two words. He said, no, the ungodly, they're not so. Now, listen carefully. We live in a time when man, and especially, let's just take America, when mankind believes that I have many options in my life. But see, we don't have many options. In other words, we say, okay, there's plan A, there's plan B, there's plan C. No, here's what God says. You're either godly or you're ungodly. Well, is there another option? Like super ungodly or something, you know? No, there's not any other options. You're either in Christ or you're in Adam. If you're in Adam, all what? Die. If you're in Christ, all shall live. You're either born from above or you're not born from above. You're either have been made alive, a new creation in Christ, or you're still dead in your trespasses and sins. And you will never ever enter, if you're dead in trespasses and sins, you will never enter the area of your fruitfulness. And let me tell you why. Because the wicked one wants to destroy you. What does he come? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life. And have it more abundantly. John 10:10. Now, so we look at here and God says, no, sorry. You know what? You may be a hard worker, love your family, keep your car clean, never cheat on your taxes and all of those things. But here's the deal. If you don't know me, if Jesus doesn't live in your heart, you're not born again and you're still ungodly. What does the Bible say about those that are ungodly? Does God love them? Well, of course he does. We were ungodly once. Remember what it says in Romans 5, 6? For when we were still without strength, that means without strength in the Greek, it would be like this. When we were completely unconscious, we were on life support. We didn't know what was happening. We were dead. It says, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That was me. That was you. And you know what? If you don't know Christ this morning, Jesus just told us, the Bible just told that Jesus died for you. He wants to move you out of being ungodly over into being godly. He wants to impart divine life to you. He wants to save you. He wants to write your name in the Lamb's book of life. He wants you to be with him forever and ever and ever. You see, the world, those that don't know the Lord, their root system is in the world that we live in. And here's the thing, loved one, whether you know it or not, the world that we live in is a very, very dangerous place. You say, how do you mean, Bill? Well, the Bible tells us, 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are of God. We're born again. We're of God. We belong to him. But the whole world, not part of the world, the whole world lies in the sway, the arms, again, the cradle of the wicked one, of the devil, meaning the world system. That's what the Bible teaches us. And then the condition of the world. 1 John 2:17, it says, and the world is passing away. It's all going to go. It's all going to be gone one day. The world is passing away. The lust of it's going to pass away. Here it is. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Listen, let us walk carefully in 2014. Amen. Into the area of our fruitfulness. You know, I'm gonna say some things right now, and I don't want to step on any mom or dad's heart. I want you to know that I love you. I love this church, and I care immensely for you and for your children, teens and preteens. Listen about them. I've been studying the last 2 months, and you know, I'm not a tech person. You know what I mean? I'm still learning how to take pictures with my camera on my phone. Texting drives me crazy. Okay. And I'm not good at it. I don't want to be good at it either. You know, you start thinking about all that's happening today, and I start thinking about our kids, and I've been doing such a study on our teens and preteens. And I see how, mom, dad, listen, how we need to protect our kids. You know, I mean, they're being tempted every day. They're being set up every day like never before. And you say, well, wait a minute, Bill, my kids, they attend youth group and they memorize Bible scriptures and I'm cramming the word of God into their head. I say, and I know that, and I know you do those things. But that doesn't mean they may not be getting in trouble. Come on. I know our kids are perfect, right? Hello, come on. Let's don't even go there. Our kids aren't perfect. And here's the thing, and neither are we. And I started thinking about all the things that are happening. And I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm not trying to meddle in your personal business, but I'm going to have to do it because I want to be obedient, because what I think God's telling me. Does your kid have a smartphone? I mean, you put a smartphone into your preteen or teen's hand. Did you know they can go anywhere in the world on that telephone? I mean, they can go anywhere in the world. They can go to any chat room in the world. They can go anywhere they want to. They can talk to anyone. I mean, the smartphone is not only like a camcorder. It's a video machine. It's a radio. It's a TV. It's a camera. It's a phone. It's everything. It's amazing. You can even FaceTime. You know what I'm saying? You can see. Is that the right word? Okay. Nobody said anything. I didn't know. So maybe it was not a right word. You know, and you can see the person you're talking to. And so I started thinking about all that, and listen very carefully. According to the Pew Research Study, and that's excellent if you ever want to go there. The Pew Research Study, here's what they said. 75% of American children under 8 years of age have access, I didn't say they owned one, have access to a smartphone or smart tablet. 75%. Listen to this. 95% of our teens in America use the internet. 93% of our teens in America have a computer or access to one at home. This is going to be heartbreaking. According to the University of Texas Medical Branch, I'm talking about the careful walk. I'm talking about the area of fruitfulness. According to the University of Texas Medical Branch, sexting. You know what that means. Amen. Sexting. Sending pictures, nude pictures to people. Sexting is an epidemic in America, and I'm sure the world. And I say, well, Bill, we shouldn't talk about this on a Sunday morning. Well, I'm going to. I look here, and when I started looking the statistics, and I said to myself, I talked to another pastor. I said, I cannot stick my head in the sand over this. I said, I had no idea what was going on with our teens today and our preteens today. And it started breaking my heart. Parents, listen to me. You need to know what your child is doing on their smartphone. If there's any teens in here, they're trembling right now. You need to know who they're talking to. You need to know what sites they're going to and whether they like it or not. Amen. And not only that, and I wouldn't know how to do it, but I know as I talk to people, they say that you can take that smartphone that you're giving to your loved one, your little one, and you can put restrictions on it where they can't get to certain places. Does that make sense? And I'm going to tell you, if you have not done that, mom, dad, when you leave this service today, you need to take that cell phone, that smartphone, or that smart tablet, or wherever they are in their world, and their computer, and a laptop, and you need to say, this is where you can go, and this is where you can't go, because I'm now going to block you, I'm going to monitor you, I will not let anyone ever come online and say, send me a picture, or any of those things. I'll never let my child hurt like that. I'll never let them be abused like that. I'm never going to let that happen to you. I don't care. I don't want you sending a picture to anybody. You say, Bill, I'm telling you, it's an epidemic. It's an epidemic in the church. And let me say something else. If you have a smartphone and you're in the church right now and you're doing those kinds of things, you need to come to this pulpit and you need to repent and get that trash off of your phone and don't look at that vile stuff. Don't participate in it. Don't send pictures to any of those people. Are you listening to me? No, don't do that at all. It's a time for a careful walk. It's time for parents to say, you know what? The children don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. And that's the way it needs to be. Not the other way around. And I look and I say, oh God, look at verse 4 again. You know I got off track, but that's okay. The ungodly, they're not so, but look what they're like. Those that don't know the Lord, he says they're like chaff. You know what chaff is? It's an outer husk of the wheat there. Just the wind will just blow it away. It's nothing. It's worthless. Chaff is good for nothing. Oh, God loves them. Yes, he wants to save them. But he's saying you don't understand your life is, well, you have no purpose in your life if you're just chaff. He says, oh, the ungodly, they're not so, but they're like chaff, which the wind drives away. In other words, they're defenseless. Their life is defenseless. They don't have any protection. They're not planted by the river where their nourishment and all those things come. They're not there. In the evaluation of their life, that's it. They're just nothing. There are opportunities for us, though, because God wants us to win everyone to the Lord. God wants them to pull them out of the wicked one's hands. Amen? And save them. Therefore, the ungodly, oh, look at this. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. What does that mean, shall not stand? It means that they're going to be present, all right, in the day of judgment. But they shall not be standing. Why? Because they can't stand. They don't have a leg to stand on. Why? Because the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen? Oh, listen, I thank God that we're saved. I thank God that we know the truth. And let's close. Look what it says. For the Lord knows. That means, the word knows means he cares. The Lord cares about the way of the righteous. That's us. Not righteous in our own way. We're righteous because we're in Christ. Not any of our good junk. It's all his fruits. Amen? But the way, the lifestyle of the ungodly shall perish. Perish is a big word. It means that a person that's not with the Lord, they're going to be, if they die in their sins that Jesus paid for on the cross, if they ignore Jesus' love and they don't want it, it means that they're going to be eternally separated from God forever and ever and ever. Did you notice when we opened in this first psalm here, it did not say blessed or oh, how happy is the person who lives for the world. The world's never going to make you happy. The things of the world are never going to make you happy. Remember what I said? I said the world is passing away. That's what God told us. Now listen, I want you to ask yourself a question. You that are listening live right now and those that are sitting here, if you don't know Jesus Christ, now listen, some of you are backslidden. I know it. I know it. You're backslidden. You're living in the world. You might even be sending those filthy, nasty pictures. You might be doing things that you're so ashamed of. You know it's wrong. Looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. You know it's wrong. It's hurting you. But it's trapped you. The ways of the world it's going to perish. And listen, loved one, we don't want to live for a world that's going to pass away. Amen? It's temporary. We're all, life is short. What does the Bible say about our life? He says our life, you know, don't say today or tomorrow I'm going to go in and sell and make a profit. No, he says, what is your life? It's nothing but a what? Vapor. Vapor. Remember the ice storm? You walk, it's so cold, you just, there's a vapor. Gone. Where'd it go? It's gone. Life is so short. What are you playing with? You're playing with fire, man. You're on the wrong road. You're going away from your fruitfulness that you have in God. And you're listening to people that shouldn't be taking you there. What did Jesus tell us? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? What does it profit a man? Or what will a man, Jesus said, give in exchange for his soul? If you're selling out to the world, you're going to sell out to the world. You're going to say, hey, take my soul. A world that's passing away. Don't do that. You know what? People sell out every day. Young people, they sell out. They get into junk and sin that they wish they'd never later on say, well, why did I do that? No, listen. Don't exchange, man. You know how much God loves your soul? Jesus, let me tell you how much God loves you, your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. That's how much your soul is worth to God. He sent Jesus to die for you, to take your place on the cross. You know what? I close with this statement, loved one. The road that you travel on, listen carefully now, the road that you travel on will determine your destination. Father, I thank you as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. I thank you, Lord, that there are those here that are backslidden. There are those that are doing things they shouldn't be doing. There are those that have never asked Jesus to come into their life, and they need to be saved. They want to be saved, oh God. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, the first thing I do is speak to the Christian. If you're involved in any of those things that are leading you away from the fruitfulness of God and down the wrong road, why don't you just lift your hand by faith right now and say, Bill, that's me. That's me, Bill. I want that out of my life. God bless you. That's right. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. That's right. I want, God bless you, sir. That's right. I want away from that right now. I want off of that road. God bless you, sir. That's right. I want off of that road. I want to come back home. Then right now, listen, just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Just tell him quietly. Oh, Lord, wash away my sin, my addiction, my filth, whatever I've been doing, whatever it is. Just give it to the Lord right now and say, I repent. Now cleanse me, Father, in Jesus' name, and he will. Now, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that means you're not a believer. You're not a Christian. And you hear him knocking right now. You know he's knocking, and you know that you need to get right with God. You know that the word that you just heard is true. No one looking around. This is a holy time. If that's you, just simply lift your hand up and put it right back down very quickly and say, Bill, I want Christ to be my Lord. I want Jesus to come in my heart. I'm not going to call you down here. This is only between you and God. If that's you, put your hand up quickly and put it right back down. God bless you. I see that. Who else? Say, Bill, that's me. I want to ask Christ right now to come into my heart. I'll not. God bless you. I see that hand too. Any other calls? My last call. If that's you, you hear the voice of the Lord knocking. Please don't resist him. Just lift it up and put it right back down. Last call in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Now, those who lifted your hands, pray this prayer with me right now. Church, help me. Say, Father, I want on the right road. I want a careful walk. I want to leave my sins behind. I want 2014 to be fruitful for me. I'm a sinner, Lord. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. You promised. If I would confess that and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Father, we thank you now for all that you've done today. We thank you for 2014, the year of fruitfulness for this body. We thank you for those that just got right with you, that repented of their sins, that's going to trash the things off of their phone. And I thank you, Lord, for those that just came into the kingdom that are now new creations in Christ, and they're our brothers and our sisters. I thank you, Lord, that they're not ungodly now, but they are godly. And that you love them and that you will keep them all the days of their life. There is no one like you, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's